Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Hello, friends. We've made it through pre-season. The big kickoff is just a few days away. We're all very excited. It's the latest Kings of Anglia podcast here, Ipswich Town podcast here from the IO Radio Studios in Norwich Road, Ipswich. I'm your host as ever, Mark Heath. To my left hand, flying solo today, is the man who's made a lot of notes. He's gone full doctor mode. He's in full-on season kickoff mode. Dr. Stephen Watson, also known as Smokey Joe at the moment. How's that going?
No, off it, mate.
You're off the fags
off
now.
Off it, yeah.
Tremendous.
I've got the willpower now. I can switch it on and off.
Absolutely tremendous. Good to have you with us. Hutchie Hogan is taking a couple of days off before the madness ensues on Saturday, so he won't be joining us today, but the man who certainly will be joining us and joins us all the time because he's the producer, the best producer on planet Earth, owner of a very weak immune system, producer Ross.
Yes, that is very true.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm always here as ever.
Excellent.
Even on my days off.
Okay. Yeah, but you're officially working today.
Yes,
so,
I am, so.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Boys, how are we?
Good.
Yes. Stewie, before we get into the football, we've not seen you or indeed heard from you. Well, I suppose we have actually because you did a little bonus podcast last week. That was no nonsense. There was no fun involved in that whatsoever. We haven't seen you since you've been on your stag with the lads.
Wasn't mine, but
well,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
A stag, yeah.
How was it?
It was very good, yeah.
I speculated in the podcast that you weren't here for because you were recovering from liver failure or whatever, that I suspect now that you're a young father, you don't get chances to do stuff like that. Now look, people won't know this about Stewie Watson because obviously he is the doctor. He's very, very serious indeed. And Ross, I can't hear myself anymore. Is it still?
It's still going.
It's still going. Good. Technical issues. The doctor tends to be quite serious, very kind of logical, thoughtful chap. But what people won't know about you is once you get a few scoops inside you, you are the life and soul of the party. Mm. You're doing shots through your eyeballs, you're injecting heroin in your toes, all that sort of stuff. So I speculated that once off the leash, as it were, in Prague, that you may run a little bit wild and it's kind of like regressing to your former life, the life you don't have anymore. So, you know, obviously you're on the fags, you're necking shots like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Don't do it as often, but make the most of it when you get chance.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
What was the highlight?
We did a little boat tour.
Yeah. Seeing the sights, I assume.
Obviously.
And the culture.
Anyone who's done the boat tours associated with stag do's will know what happens on those in Prague and Budapest and places like that.
Well, so what does happen?
Little surprise for the stag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was really good fun. Yeah, not a lot of sleep. Spent too much, drank too much. Took me a little while to recover, but
yeah,
it was good.
When you get home after that, after being the artist formerly known as Stuart Watson,
yeah,
what's it like when you get back to normality and you've obviously got your family and Aya comes running up to you?
Straight into rehab, obviously, was the first thing. Yeah, when
Do you instantly switch back into serious daddy mode?
Yeah, there's no hangover period. Like, you know, when you're younger, you could have a Sunday just to sleep it off. But now, yeah, straight into dad mode. The minute you walk in the door, it's not ideal.
You've got to be serious again. Roscoe, all this is to come for you. What have you been up to recently? You had a week off last week, which obviously involved working on Monday. and then working on Thursday at the open day. We didn't, in the end, get to meet Deontay Wilder because, surprise, surprise, that was cancelled. Yeah, who could have seen that coming?
I was predicting that, so that's why I had my Thursday night sort of plan to just chill.
Yeah. And what did you get up to in your week off?
Just chilled, really, with my girlfriend, and that's really it. Nothing exciting, really.
I know you went to two Ipswich Town games while you were
that's another thing.
So you went to see the under-18s and the under-23s.
Yeah, so
that man Drinan scored again.
He did. Yeah, good finish.
Captain's armband as well, wasn't it?
He's got a new beard and everything. It's a new look. New season.
What's he got to do, Stu?
I don't know. Do you want me to ask? Paul on whatever day?
That's a good question, though, because he is a striker.
He's captain of the under-23 team. He's scoring goals
in a friendly.
Well, yeah. No,
joking aside, Ross, how is he looking?
He is looking good. To be fair, he looked like he's in better shape. Great finish against Lowestoft. You know, he scored twice against Sudbury, so he's looking to really prove that he can do something. You know, for Ipswich, but probably not in the first.
I know he's become a bit of an on-running gag via Mark in this show. But when he signed, Mick McCarthy was really bigging him up. Luke Chambers was saying how good he'd looked. You know, he seemed to be signed as a first-team player, but both him and Barry Cotter seem to be sort of miles away from it at the moment. But
absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Anyway, we will see. So, boys, that's the catch. I'll tell you what I did, actually, over the weekend. I need to share. I bought myself some mustard chinos.
What?
So I think that officially means that I'm old.
Some mustard chinos.
Mustard chinos, baby. It's where they're at.
What are you going to pair those with?
Just a nice crisp white shirt, I imagine.
Yeah, shoes.
Yeah.
Sensible shoes.
But it struck me as I was buying them, I think that's probably the end of my youth. The next step, obviously, is salmon chinos, and then it's all downhill. If you own a pair of mustard chinos?
Only posh people wear.
Yeah, I think there's some secret like store somewhere that sells the salmon chinos. I'm not really sure. You have to reach a certain level of status before you're given the key to the salmon chino locker.
Yeah.
But mustard chinos, just standard, mate. Fashionable, isn't it?
I like that colour, to be fair.
Yes,
I like mustard colour. I've got a nice mustard shirt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you got a pair of mustard chinos?
No.
You've not reached your chinos wearing stage yet, have you? You're still very much in the jean denim stage.
Yeah. Mm.
Stewie, you're probably... You should, as the doctor, should be wearing chinos.
There is some in the wardrobe.
Mustard chinos or just chinos?
Not mustard, no. No, I've not gone... I think I've got some sort of plum
nice.
Trousers. They haven't had many outings.
You're working your way through the colour scheme.
Yeah.
Was that a Christmas present that you know?
No, I did purchase them for myself at one stage. But
at the top of that pyramid that you're now on, sits the mustard chino, and then ultimately at the top of the Christmas tree is the salmon chino.
I can't wait to see these.
Mate, I'm going to rock them. I'm going to look good. But it did just strike me as I was buying them that I am almost a 40-year-old man now. Mm. And that's the sphere of trouser that I now move in.
There's certain like bits in department stores like Debenhams and Marks and Spencers and stuff where, you know, I remember sort of your dad used to shop. And that'll be, you know, we're getting towards that stage now, aren't we?
Well, I'll speak for yourself.
Slightly loose-fitting shirts. looser fit. It's only dawned on me in the last few years, really, that slim fit is no longer for me.
Oh, really?
I still buy
jeans. Oh, skinny jeans.
Anything that's got skinny or slim fit is...
Can't do skinny jeans. But slim fit, I'm a big fan. In fact, I actually bought a suit yesterday, slim fit suit. Mm. Very nice. That's Gaudi. Wait till you see that one. That's like a Conor McGregor... Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah?
Ridiculous purple. You'll like it, actually. It's purple.
Oh.
Purple and blue check suit.
I've probably seen that. When are you going to don that out?
Probably the podcast live, I reckon. It might be one of its first debuts. Obviously, we've got a meeting about that this week. Watch this space, because the podcast live is coming. And it's going to be a very exclusive little event.
You can wear your mustard chinos. I've got a velvet jacket. I could wear that.
You got a velvet jacket?
Yeah, it's like a...
Why have we not seen this before?
It's just not really a work thing, is it?
I don't know, my friend. I think get dressed up to nines, that's what I say. I know Hutchie's not a big fan of dressing up, is he? So
no.
It'd be interesting to know if he's got any mustard chinos. In fact, I don't think he really has chinos.
No.
He wouldn't strike me as a chinos man.
I would put lots of money on that he hasn't got those.
Hutchie's still very
strictly
much
denim.
In the jorts phase, isn't he? Jean shorts. He enjoys the jorts.
Yeah, I've seen them a lot in pre-season.
Absolutely. Anyway, I digress. Let us know if you too out there have got mustard chinos, and indeed what stage of the trouser pyramid you are at. Let's talk about football, shall we? The final pre-season game of the weekend was at Cambridge United at the weekend. You two boys were both there, and it was 0-0. Now, obviously, there's a major incident, which is the obvious thing to talk about. We'll get onto that in a minute. But first of all, Stuart Watson, the doctor, sitting there analysing. Give us your thoughts on what we saw in the 0-0 draw. What are you doing there? Can you still hear me?
You don't have to. We always sort of... This is meant to be behind-the-scenes stuff when we're fiddling with microphones and stuff. I feel like we always draw attention to the listeners.
I just want to make sure, because obviously we've had technical issues before, that we are still recording. My voice is still recording, yes. Is it, Ross? Because yes. Obviously last time, with the dodgy mic with Stewie, he went very quiet for quite some time. So we are still recording. I can still hear Stewie.
Right.
Good.
What do we make of 0-0 at Cambridge?
Sexy.
What do we make of it? I thought they played a lot better second half, and I don't think there was any coincidence that that's when Alan Judge came on at half time, and when Emir Hughes also got added into it midway through the second half. I thought once they had Norwood, Judge, Hughes on the pitch, they looked a far more threatening team. First half was a bit like last season, some nice little pretty patterns of play, but didn't really lead to much. Dazelle and Downs, who we'll come on to in a minute, were linking up really nicely first half, but wasn't many chances. That was a diamond formation first half, with sort of Danny Rowe playing at the tip of that, with Jackson and Norwood up front. Didn't really lead to many chances. Second half, they go to 4-2-3-1. The aforementioned players come on, and they should have won that game. They created quite a few chances. Norwood had a goal disallowed for a fairly clear Maradona-esque style punch into the net at the far post.
Nothing wrong with that.
And they had a few other chances as well, save from Hughes, save from Downs. I took some positives away from the second half, certainly.
Now, obviously, Thomas Holy started in goal.
Yes.
6'9", goalkeeper. Got to say that whenever you mention Thomas Holy. Does that mean, Stuart Watson, that he's going to start the season in goal at Burton on Saturday?
If I was a betting man, I'd say yes. I don't think it necessarily means that, because Paul Lambert was very clear in saying to us, don't read too much into my team selection for this game. The goalkeepers have kind of been on rotation throughout pre-season. They were getting a half each in the early games, and then it was 90 minutes for each. It was Holy's turn at the weekend. I would imagine that he will get the nod, mainly because he's a Lambert signing, and he's played quite well in the games. I thought he had a pretty solid game, you know, as we kind of hoped and expected with his height. He was confident at claiming aerial balls. His distribution looked pretty good. Made a decent stop with his legs. I'd be surprised if he didn't start in goal at Burton, yeah.
Hmm. And what kind of major positive takeaways then? You're saying that the performance of who you're saying stood out on Saturday?
Judge, I thought, changed the game when he came on. Obviously, he's been the big talking point this week. Still surprised that Paul Lambert came out and said what he said after the Notts County game in terms of Alan kind of being keen on that QPR move. Don't really know what there was to gain from that, really. It's, you know, that sort of stuff normally stays in-house, because if the situation pans out that the move doesn't happen, which it's looking that way now, QPR have signed Mark Pugh and Warburton's kind of said pretty much that he's moved on. I think we've got to praise Marcus Evans for learning from his past mistakes and put his foot down on it. Judge signed a contract in April, 2 years. He's their asset. You know, I can see why the move appealed to him, but Ipswich have got to stand by, put their foot down and do what's right for them. And that's what's happened. So I don't really see why it needed to be made public that Alan was kind of keen on the move. I don't know how he'll feel about that privately, but he got a good reception from the fans when he went out to warm up. First of all, he was at the open day on Thursday, and by all accounts, you know, bar a couple of people, most people were, you know, very, very nice and kind to him, and he certainly got a really good reception. Ross got some good footage of the fans sort of singing, "We want you to stay," and he looked a little bit sheepish when he first went out for his warm-up. I don't think he quite knew what reception he'd get, but they gave him a rousing rendition, and then he came on, and I thought he just injected a bit of quality into the game.
Roscoe, you were on the ground, as it were. You were pitch side and also mingling with the fans pre-match. What was the mood? How are people feeling going into the season, do you reckon?
I think they're excited. I think they're all a bit right, of course, about the Judge room and, of course, Bart as well.
Yeah.
I think, they're excited. I think they're just ready to start the League One tour, really, I think.
Most people feeling like promotion is...
Top six has got to be,
yeah,
you know, the,
that's the aim.
Target, the aim, that's the and everything. Goal. So,
now, obviously, the thing we have to talk about from Cambridge United, certain Mr. Flynn Downs. This is his theme tune, by the way, now. And with the local DBC news, stuck the nut in. He stuck the nut in, didn't he, Flynn? That's his theme tune. Go on, lads. Head in. I loved it. I've got to say, I absolutely loved it. Now, obviously, I would, because that, you know, fighting background and all that. I like to see that passion. Obviously, one can't condone his behaviour. Can't see that on the football pitch, but I did love it. I was mounting up for that on Saturday night when I saw what happened, and the great pictures that we got as well, plus the video, Roscoe, that you got as well. So, Stewie, now you're probably going to break it down sensibly for us as I'm sitting here giving it the big un. What do we make of young Mr. Downs sticking his face in another man's face in a forcible nature?
Don't get me wrong, I love passion, I love competitive edge. I think someone who fights for their teammates and for the badge has probably been a quality that's been lacking, and maybe Ipswich have been a bit of a soft touch in recent years, but there is a line to be crossed, and
headbutting someone is that line.
Yes, if you do that on the street, it's a different conversation, isn't it?
Boring.
And this wasn't a nuzzling of foreheads together for a few seconds and then someone having a little jab of the neck, you know, which you see quite a bit of. This was, he jumped up. I mean, first of all, we've got to say it was a bad tackle. It was a bad tackle, and there's caveats here. It's a friendly game. 4 days on from seeing his good friend and teammate Tristan Nydam go off with a broken ankle, out for 6 months. He gets caught on the ankle himself. Could have been a serious injury. But then the switch just goes with him. It's like a trigger. And he got up. The guy was walking away, Paul Lewis, had his back to him. He spun him round from behind. And he's absolutely launched his head into him.
There can be no kind of misconception about intent or anything like that, can there? You can see from the picture that he's basically grabbed him by both arms to use as like leverage and stuck the nut right in. So he's actually lucky that the other guy, he wasn't kind of badly injured, because you can easily break someone's nose like that.
Jaw, cheekbone, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's silly, really. Nobody wants to take that fire away from him, because that is his game. And we've seen it with young players over the years, and I'm not comparing them in terms of ability by any stretch of the imagination, but Wayne Rooney's the first one that springs to my mind.
Yeah.
Through his early days as a player, you know, people were sort of saying you've got to rein that back in. And I think as he got older and wiser, he worked out how to use that as a strength rather than a weakness. It's a friendly, it happened late in the game, that, you know, we don't know if there'll be any further consequences in terms of a ban yet. But if that happens in a game where something's riding on it and it leaves you with 10 men in a match, or, you know, even if you get bookings for silly reactions, that to me blunts Flynn Downs' game. I think of the Accrington game in the Cup last season where, again, it was just a silly reaction where he's reacting to tackles and he's shoving people. You're booked. All of a sudden, you can't go herring round thumping into tackles and playing with that sort of aggressive edge, which is his game. Take that away and, you know, he can't be that player that he can be. So I don't want him to lose that, but he needs to harness it, and he needs to learn how to harness it, and quick.
Yeah, much as I joke about it, obviously, yeah, that's not something you can see on a football pitch, because, I mean, A, who gets sent off in a friendly? That never happens.
Well, he nearly got sent off in, I can't remember which one it was, but somebody pulled up one of my tweets from one of the pre-season games where I said, careful, Flynn, you know, don't get sent off in a friendly, lad, because he'd already been booked, then he smashed into another tackle.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it for tackles. I don't mind it for playing sort of on the edge, but it's just, it's the off-the-ball stuff, it's the reactions, that they just seem to be a little bit of the sort of pointless ones in the game.
And so do we know what will happen now? Because obviously he's been sent off in a friendly, he's headbutted someone, which if that was in the season, you'd be banned for numerous games. What do we know what the process is for friendlies?
I had a little chat with Stuart Hayton, club secretary, who's been on the podcast before with Andy and I, straight after the game. He was at the game on Saturday, and he sort of said, we hope we'll be okay, because to all intents and purposes, red cards in friendlies don't count towards competitive first team games, but it depends what the referee puts in his report, and it depends how the FA react to that, whether they'll make this a special case and want to take things further. So we'll just have to wait and see on that.
And you say before all that, he played quite well, didn't he? He had a good game.
Best player on the pitch. I know we've talked about Judge there coming on, but in terms of the 90 minutes or the 88 minutes or whatever Flynn lasted on the pitch, he was brilliant. He was, you know, he had surely nailed his place for Burton up until then. Box to box energy, crashing into tackles, but on the ball really positive as well. He was driving at people. There was one run where he just burst through the heart of defence into the box, and was final touch was just a little strong and the keeper made a save. He was really, really good, and that's what made what he did all the more galling.
The other thing, I think obviously you've already touched on it, to emerge over the weekend, was the Judge thing, the Judge deal to QPR looking like it's dead in the water. That's obviously a good thing for Town fans. What's your feeling about the impact of that on Alan? Because obviously we knew that he kind of was interested in at least talking to QPR.
I don't think it will have an impact on him. He strikes me as a character that will... it wasn't somebody who had slapped in a transfer request, to use journalese. He wasn't really agitating for the move, but I think it was just, look, if QPR are interested, just to let you know, it ticks a lot of boxes for me in terms of West London, not uprooting my family. Obviously, it's Championship. I think money would have probably been bottom of the reasons why Alan would have wanted to go. I honestly think family and geography would have been top of that. But when he came to Ipswich, he said he'd move his family. He planned to move his family to Suffolk. We're now obviously into the school holidays, so I assume the process of bringing his kids and his family over will start. I think he'll move on pretty quickly from this, and I'm pretty sure the fans will move on from it too.
Good news, good news. And of course, when we're talking about Judge, the general theme is sexy stuff. Transfers. Hey. Producer Ross has been busy.
He's got the video on as well.
Yeah, this is one of the best videos ever made. Not keen on that bit.
Maybe this could be Hutch's outfit.
What do you reckon?
Podcast
live. Yeah, what, PVC?
PVC with the with a cane and a top hat.
I would like to see that. Good work, Ross. Sexy stuff. Let's talk sexy stuff. Transfers. Now, Judge obviously isn't going anywhere. The other big thing over pre-season has been Bartos. Didn't play at the weekend. Some people are speculating on Twitter that maybe that's because they're trying to reinvigorate the Millwall move. And there's been a few rumours around this morning surrounding Tom Elliott. What can you tell us? Sexy stuff. What's the latest, Dr. Watson?
Yeah, obviously we saw the report on TWTD last night. At this stage, we're trying to find out a little bit more before we start reporting on anything ourselves. Things can change very quickly, but the latest of a few days ago, from mine and Andy's understanding, was that the Bart to Millwall deal was pretty dead in the water. They did continue to talk for a couple of weeks after it initially collapsed. As we know, it was to do with the medical and cartilage or lack of cartilage in one knee, and they tried to use that to knock the price down. Ipswich sort of said, well, okay, well, perhaps we can structure the deal differently in terms of how much is paid up front, or whether, you know, there would be some compensation if he were to get injured. In the end, they hit a brick wall, and Evans just said, no, not doing this anymore. Now, the Tom Elliott part of it, he was offered to Ipswich as part of that original deal, and Ipswich said, no, thank you. So whether that's changed, I don't know. So I'm reluctant to say it's definitely off and they're not interested in Tom Elliott. That may have changed. But certainly, as of a few weeks ago, Ipswich didn't want Tom Elliott as part of the deal. And as of a few days ago, the sense was that the Bart deal was dead in the water. But as we've speculated, I think Thomas Holy is probably in line to be number one. Bart will be top earner. You don't want to be carrying his wages as a backup goalkeeper in League One. So I'm sure that they will be keen to get that going again if they can.
Interesting, isn't it, with Bart? I know you touched on it in the emergency pod that you and Hutchie Hogan did last week. Kind of a catch-22 situation. Now you've got a guy who's your top wage earner going into the season, potentially a backup keeper sitting on the bench, but he's not going to get any sort of level of interest in him unless he's playing, isn't he? So it's a really kind of quandary that Town find themselves in. Interesting.
It is, but I think regardless of whether he plays or doesn't play, his value is going to drop quickly, because people are going to be very aware that they'll want him off the wage bill. Mm. And I think come January, you know, we were talking about 3 million bids being rejected last summer. Mm. We're now talking about 900 grand being the fee that was agreed with Millwall. Come January, you'll be looking at just taking whatever you can, really, I think, to get him off your books, especially if he's been playing as a backup goalkeeper. So very interesting to see how that one pans out over the next few days.
And just for the sake of crossing the I's and dotting the T's and revving people's engines, Tom Elliott, tell us a little bit about him.
Tom Elliott, yeah, he's 28, I think, striker. Ipswich fans will probably remember him being a bit of a battering ram in the two defeats against Millwall last season. Obviously 3-0 at the Den, which was the first game that Paul Lambert watched on, you know, before taking charge. Ipswich were dreadful that day, and then the 3-2 at Portman Road, in which Ipswich played really well first half and then contrived to collapse and throw it away. And I think Elliott's goal, if you remember, was one where he sort of just charged down the goalkeeper on the byline and scrambled the ball home. So, as I say, I don't think Ipswich were mad keen on him being part of the deal originally, but you know, they may feel that they still need a striker in the building. It's a big ask for James Norwood to play or to carry the entire burden of scoring goals. They've got Caden Jackson as backup. Depends if Lambert was thinking of playing as a lone, just as one striker. Do they need another? Elliott might be seen as a different option in terms of a physical option. He's 6'4". Mm. He chases down pretty hard, but he's played most of his career in sort of National League, League Two. He's kind of been a bit part player for Millwall since he made the move to the Championship, so we'll wait and see. He's another one with an injury question mark against him. I was looking back through some quotes when he was at Rotherham. We're going back to 2010, but Ronnie Moore at the time was saying that he won't play with any bit of pain and called him a sick note. And I think he's had a few little injury problems.
Ouch.
In
That's
recent
a sick
years.
Burn.
Yeah.
For a manager to say that about a player publicly. Wow.
Yeah, that was a short loan spell there. I say that's going back a few years now, but we know Ipswich can't really afford to have any more injury-prone players. But maybe they'll bring him in just to sort of play in the Chequered Trade Trophy games and just relieve the pressure off of Norwood and give them another option. Who knows? But as I say, it's not something that Ipswich were keen on a few weeks ago. May have changed.
Anything else? I mean, obviously, they've had two trialists they've been carrying the last couple of weeks, James Wilson and the boy Guthrie. Is there any movement there? You think anything going to happen with either or both of them?
I think it would be one rather than both. It's really only a short-term fix. I think we get too caught up in the fact that it's only one game that Luke Chambers is missing. You would think that he'll be playing the majority of games. Luke Wolfenden, I thought, has impressed me in pre-season. I thought he had a really good game on Saturday. He'll be nailed on to start at Burton. And then Toto should be back around September time. So you just really need a bit of extra cover at centre-back for the first month of the season. I would say out of the two, James Wilson looks in pole position for me. I thought Guthrie looked a little bit hit and miss at the weekend. He played the first half. He's tall, he's quite gangly, he's left-footed. But he was part of a Walsall side that got relegated last season. And there were moments where he sort of climbed over the top of strikers and won towering headers, but there were also moments where your heart was in your mouth, where you thought he wasn't going to quite make a header higher up the pitch. He sliced a cross behind at one stage. Wilson came on, just looked pretty calm and assured, and he looks the one that's probably in pole position for me if they're going to sign one.
So when you say, when Paul Lambert, the Honey Badger, told you last week he's looking for three signings, you think one of those is included there?
Possibly, or it could be another that comes from left field, on that. But certainly a centre-back will be one of those three positions.
I hope it's not Guthrie, purely from a selfish point of view, because I know that I'd be writing Danny Guthrie all season. I've got a real blind spot with things like that. Who was it? Collins last season. James Collins. Danny I kept Collins. Writing Danny Collins all the time. I knew my friend back in the day had a thing with Mark Warburton and Sam Warburton. You get writing Sam Warburton every time we talk about Mark Warburton, the great Welsh rugby player, of course. Friends, shall we move on to mailbag?
Yes.
We need someone to sing the jingle, otherwise Alistair Rattray will be disappointed. Stewie, voice of an angel.
I don't think I've ever done this solo.
Have you not? You're going to have to freestyle as well, because there's no Hutchie. So warm up those pipes, baby.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Mark, Stew and Ross to dip into the mailbag.
Good work, my friend. Now then, I want to start with a question from our growing army of international listeners. A lad named Stuart Driver lives in Sydney. He emailed to say he's one of our international listeners. And do get in touch, by the way. I've had quite a few messages since last week when I said get in touch. I want to know where people are listening to outside of the UK. We know we've got people in America, Australia now.
Good day.
Obviously, what?
Good day.
Good day, mate.
Barbados. I want to know.
Hey?
Barbados as well.
Yes. No, not Barbados. The Bahamas.
Our Bahamas.
The Bahamas. Very okay. Good. Doing a live podcast there at some point. I want to know if we've got anyone in New Zealand. We must have people in New Zealand. I want the furthest flung places that people listen to this. Obviously, we've got our friend Stefan who's travelling around the world.
So. Maybe if we're going to the Bahamas, we could maybe fill the void that the Fire Festival left.
And yeah.
The Podcast Live could be the new Fire Festival. What, we'll go and shoot a promo video, yeah. get some influencers models. Involved. Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Put that on there.
Stick a few tents up.
Stick that on the ideas list. Anyway, Stuart Driver over in Sydney. Thanks for getting in touch, Stuart. He says, Leeds played a friendly here on Saturday against the A-League side Western Sydney Wanderers. And it was reported they had 5,500 supporters travel from the UK. Obviously, Sydney's a good place to come. It's just a long way. So where on planet Earth should Ipswich plan to go pre-season, next pre-season, knowing they'll be champions of Division 1 and odds-on favourites for the upcoming championship season? I say a tour of New Zealand, Fiji and Vanuatu.
Yes, please.
I'd be up for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see Ipswich Town go on tour?
All of those exotic locations.
Yeah.
If Hutchie was here, he'd be after a sort of a Far East tour. He'd be up for a bit of Japan
yeah.
or something Scandinavian. He loves Scandi vibes.
Scandies.
It's a mute point because I think they're going to be going back to the Romantique Hotel.
No.
I think they're going to be going back to Germany.
Even when
Lambert loves German things.
He does, doesn't he? He loves German things more than he really should, considering the amount of time he's actually
there.
They
were already talking about improvements to be made to their remote base in terms of sorting the Wi-Fi out and getting some nets behind the goals, stuff like that. So I think plans are afoot that they'll be going back there again. That is the new Carton House that we had just outside
Why
of Dublin under
go
Mick.
To the same place? Why can't they shake it up a bit?
Mm.
I'd be up for... kind of a pre-season tour of the Caribbean. They could hop around the islands, start in St. Lucia, on to Barbados, bit of Trinidad, bit of Jamaica. Lovely. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Play a game in each location. I might actually come on that one next season. Let's get into mailbag then. Let's see what we've got. We'll do a Marksby question halfway through just to break it up. But I see we've got a lot of mailbag today. So let me scroll back to the start. Here we go. Callum Wesley. Is there anyone we know of decent and a free agent, seeing as the Honey Badger has said for definite there won't be any loans? So there's nothing kind of on top of that, is there? On top of what we've already talked about free agent-wise, or is there?
I haven't got any more names to throw in the pot at this moment in time, beyond the names that have kind of been linked, really. The link about the Northern Irish lad, Cameron Dumigan at Dundalk has resurfaced again in the last few days. I think there's several clubs having a look at him. Right back, centre back, 23. As the guy at Birmingham, wasn't there? Dacris Cogley, a right back, but that was reported as a potential loan. And as our listeners just pointed out, Lambert is very clear that he doesn't want to go down the loan route. So.
When you say Lambert, what he's actually written is the Honey Badger. So, Pete, I'm very keen, I'm very pleased, in fact, to see people taking on the Honey Badger. In fact, there's quite a lot of mentions of the Honey Badger in mailbag, just flicking through it.
Did you, labelled Flynn Downs Junior Honey Badger, or somebody did?
Someone did,
yeah. So.
Someone said that he's now Junior Honey Badger.
I think Paul Lambert will have to sort of condone Flynn Downs' behaviour, but deep down he's thinking... Good lad. I think Lambert, I need to check this out, but I seem to remember having a conversation with Paul about fights and flare-ups in his career at one stage, and I think he's been involved in a headbutt incident himself.
Paul Lambert,
at some stage.
He must have stuck the nut in at some point.
I need to double-check this, but I think he got involved with one of his former teammates at some stage when they then crossed paths further down the line in Scottish football. It is a Glaswegian trait, after all, isn't it?
That's how they kiss up there. Absolutely. Tom Block just asked, is Elliot thought to be one of the three targets? We've already talked about that, Tom, but thanks for getting in touch. Mike King, how many points do you think we'll have at the end of August? They play about a billion games, don't they, in August? That's the way it's going to be.
I'm trying to think of the fixtures off the top of my head. Burton, Sunderland at home, Peterborough away.
It's a tough start, isn't it?
I can't remember the rest of it.
Shrewsbury at home, I think.
Is at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I haven't got the fixtures in front of me. I think there might be a few draws in there along the way. I don't think it will be as many as people hope for.
Mm.
But September is where I think the season's going to hopefully catch fire.
Boom. Martin wants to know, who would make your 11 against Burton? Now, Hutchie had a pop at this last week.
Yep.
So let's see what the doctor says. Go for it.
Poley in goal.
Yep.
Danasian right back.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfenden centre back. I've got question mark next to the other centre-back at the moment. New signing, possibly Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Kenlock left-back, although he's missed the last two friendlies. He was ill at the weekend.
He's not injured then, he's just...
He missed out through illness. Yeah. I think he didn't play the prior game just because of rotation, and then he missed out through illness at the weekend. So you're then looking at young Bailey Clements to play at left-back, who... He's got qualities, but I'm not convinced he's quite ready for regular first-team football yet.
Mm.
I think it will be 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, whatever label you want to put on it, and I think it will be Skews. And then one of three alongside him, Downs, if not suspended, Dizel, possibly, Hughes. Is it too early to be chucking Hughes in from the start? I'd be tempted to go with Hughes, you know. Skews and Hughes. It's not a bad little midfield, is it?
Rhymes as well.
Judge is the number 10. Garber on the left. Norwood up front, obviously. And then on the right-hand side, Danny Rowe?
Yes. He's been good, though, hasn't he, pre-season?
Yeah, he was a little bit quieter in that he played as the number 10 at the tip of the diamond on Saturday first half. A little bit quieter than he has been out on the wing, but he played in that sort of central role for Lincoln when they got promoted. But I think it would probably be him. But both Dobber and El Mazzouni have shown glimpses of what they're all about. So they'll certainly, I would have thought, one or both of them will be in the matchday squad and have a chance.
How good is it to see Hughes playing every single game in pre-season as well? Yeah. Brilliant, isn't it?
The best thing about the weekend was he crunched into a tackle in midfield. And I always like to see that for players that have been out for so long. I think that's a real confidence boost for them, where they get up from a tackle like that and think, yep, I haven't fallen to pieces, I'm okay. And that is a real mental, you know, that's a big step to mentally get beyond that. And he looks like someone who's trusting his body again. And
I mean, that's something that going into the season, I kind of really not even thought about Emir Hughes being a regular part of the team, because you can't just assume he's going to be injured. But if he is fully fit in League One, he's going to be an absolute monster, isn't
Should
he?
Should be. Yeah.
We will see. Okay, Martin, there's your answer. Andy Warren. Young Andy Warren, someone, Hutch Hogan, Hutchzilla, as I've started to call him now as well. Producer Ross, that's you, says he claims to have been struck by lightning last week. Please tell the full story. Yes. Now, Producer Ross, you were late in the office on Thursday on your week off because you were putting together the videos from the open day. And then you, on the Kings of Anglia WhatsApp group, you then sent us a video of you having been caught in the rain.
Yeah.
And further went on to claim that you'd been struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Now, assuming that was in jest,
I don't know. I felt I did.
You felt that you'd been struck by lightning?
Yeah, I don't know. Could you guys know my road where I live? And I got.
I can't believe we were talking about this.
Of course,
I felt that I did. Yeah, carry on.
Okay. So I was on the bus, you know, after coming from work. And I looked out and I went, yep, it's going to start to rain. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's lightning. Okay. And I came out and I just got drenched. And I ran and I stopped for a minute and I just saw the lightning bolt just. I don't know. I just felt it hit me. And, you know, it's attracted to metal and I was very close to a metal. Lamppost. So
you're saying you've been hit by lightning. Have you got any special powers now?
No, I don't think so.
What sensation was it? Was it painful then, Russ?
Did I just stop for a second? Of course, it was still raining. It was still thundering lightning near me. I just stopped and I just went. I'm still alive, but also
nothing
shit.
Was smoking. Like your shoes weren't on fire.
No,
or anything
no,
like that.
No. But I was shaking a little bit.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and of course, I then ran the rest of the way home and I
really
got in the
fast.
Door. Yeah, very fast. Got in the door and I went. Well, that was eventful. And of course, I did the video to you guys and I went, yeah, oh dear.
So you've survived a lightning strike?
I think so.
Not only survived it, you didn't even get hurt?
No. Oh, I don't know. After effects, maybe.
What was it?
What was the after effects?
Just shaken up a little bit.
a bit shaken. Yeah. So that's your illness of the week, lightning strike this week.
Basically, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to top that in the coming weeks.
It's not left a mark on you or anything.
No, I ain't got a scar or anything, but I'm heart stopped a bit, I think.
I'm quite keen to know now. Maybe it'll emerge over the next few weeks that suddenly Ross has got these sort of superpowers.
Yeah, like Spider-Man.
We'll be sitting in the office one day and he'll just move something just by moving his hand across it. He'll just push it across the desk and then laser eye someone.
Which is his new secret weapon. He could just guide the ball into the net.
Yeah. There you go. Amazing. There you go. That's the story, Hutchie. Looking forward to seeing you later on this week for the big kickoff podcast Thursday. We're going to record that, the big preview. Matt Thomas, friend of the show.
He's a number.
Five, I think. Something 4 or 5. Don't know, because Hutch isn't here. Anyway, he says, with the big KO just 5 days away, unless you included Downs last Saturday, can you predict now who will be our player of the season? Now, Matt, with respect, we're going to cover this on Thursday in the season preview podcast, so I don't want to get too deep into this at the moment. He adds ketchup with Sunday roast every time.
Oh,
very disturbing, Matt. That's wrong. Stu, are things kicking off? You're looking at your phone.
Yeah, can I interject here?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Have we got news?
Talking of our good friend Hutchie.
Yeah.
He has just been texting me saying, can I call? And I've said, no, we're doing the pod.
Can't we do it live on air?
So he says, because Hutch is fairly well connected with the Bart situation, Bart is signing on loan with Millwall today. Ooh. Elliot is signing on loan too.
Wow.
Breaking news.
Chuck into the pod if you want, he says. So I have. It's out there.
So Bart.
That's all I know at the moment. So
Bart's going on loan to Millwall.
A loan swap.
With striker Elliot, Tom Elliot, coming the other way.
Seems a strange they'll be trying to get around. I don't know, maybe having to pick up some of Bart's wages still, I don't know. It's
okay.
We'll have to find out a little bit more on that one.
Well, that's the back page sort of tomorrow anyway, Stu. Don't worry about that. Okay, that's interesting. Breaking news there for you. Yeah, wow. Okay. So who's going to be number two keeper then going into the season?
Harry Wright.
Harry Wright. Okay. Is he ready to be number two?
I've not seen loads of him for the 23s, but
I think so. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of confidence. He's a new dad as well now, Harry.
Is he?
Richard Wright's a granddad. No way. That's mad.
That is mental.
Yeah. So you know, he went out in Germany and he seemed like he's a proper part of the squad. Mm. Of course, you know, last season he was part of the warm ups and stuff like that, so he was travelling with them. So Lambert, Jimmy Walker must see something in him. So
he's good on the ball, and I think you know the way Lambert wants to play that will suit the system.
Just don't let him on social media.
It's better now.
Yeah. Jack Phillips says, interesting to see Lambert has put the pressure on the owner in regards to transfers, which is good to see. Goes on to say, can you see the three players Lambert's identified signing? Obviously, we talked about that. He adds, also great to see Hughes back. Yeah, impressed at Cambridge. He was back to his best. And could you see him starting next week? The doctor thinks he will start at Burton.
I wouldn't put my life on it, but I think there's an absolute chance.
You think
that
there's more of a chance than not that it will start? Harvey Davis, friend of the show. I think he's number three. With Kenlock/Nydam injured. Kenlock's not actually injured, he's ill. Is that right?
Yeah, he's got a touch of the Ross Halls.
Has he?
Yeah, I did.
Weak immune system.
Yeah.
The Honey Badger, again another one using the Honey Badger, seemingly wanting Garbutt on the left wing. Could we see Danasian left back and Emmanuel right back against Burton?
Danasian can do left back, but I don't see that. I don't think Lambert is entirely convinced by Josh Emmanuel. He was an unused substitute on Saturday and Cole Skews ended up finishing the game at right back, so that gives you an indication that Josh isn't firmly in the picture at the moment, I would say.
George, can you see the Honey Badger, another one using Honey Badger, tremendous, start with two up top at Burton and play the diamond or go back to one striker? I can't remember what you said.
One striker. I think it just creates a more solid base for them, and I think given their fixtures to start with, they'll go with that.
FPL Tractor, how do you think the hashtag Honey Badger will be dressed on Saturday? Hashtag big issues. Now then.
He's ditched the club shop on Saturday.
He's gone with the Pulis look,
isn't
he?
Moment. Well, no, he's reverted. For most of pre-season, he's gone full Tony Pulis, cap, everything. But at the Abbey Stadium, he marched out of the tunnel and he's back to Hugo Boss Lambert. His entire wardrobe is Hugo Boss, apparently. Trainers, jeans, t-shirt and everything. So he's back to that white polo shirt, black jeans.
There was no cap then on Saturday?
No cap. No, he's gone very much back to the Lambert of last season.
He did have a tracksuit though, didn't he? Because this picture here...
That must have been... Maybe he put that on for the game then.
Yeah, certainly maybe turned up. Casual. Yeah, and of course it was raining a little bit, so he thought, get a waterproof on, you know, and all that.
That's a shame. I kind of like the big capped honey badger.
Yeah.
Hutchie suggested in one of the pieces right over the weekend, the honey badger cap toss should be a thing now to replace...
cap into the crowd,
To replace the fist pump in Chambers. I'd like to see that. Yeah. So we'll see Tony Southgate... one of our colleagues now at Arch and Towers.
Again.
A few weeks ago, you spoke about Andy's secret skill of downing a 4-second pint. Does the rest of the team have any secret skills? And what do you reckon the Honey Badger's secret skill could be? Now, Stu, you're a man of many skills that make you a nightmare for people like me. Mm. What secret skills have you got that we don't already know about? We've got the pen spin. You've got the leaky noise. It'd be a good time for you to drop that now, by the way. There we go. It's leaking here. What other secret skills have you got?
Let me have a little think of ones that we haven't already shared.
Hutchie claims that he can basically, he's one of these freak people who can just open his throat and tip things down them.
I have seen him do it.
Have you?
Yeah.
And that's definitely going to be done at the Kings of Anglia podcast live, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roscoe, what are your secret skills?
I'm not very skillful, to be fair.
There's
not
the
much there.
Not very skillful.
Just
to
get
be
ill
fair.
A lot. There you go.
That is that.
Then that's not really a skill.
Although,
but...
of course, you may now have secret skills that even you're not aware of after the lightning strike.
I'll see.
Do you feel suddenly like a great power?
Basically when, you know, Spider-Man got bit.
Yeah.
You know,
do you feel anything kind of pulsing inside you other than the horniness that we've talked about?
Not just yet, but I've been waking up very quickly. That's one of that. I can wake up very quickly.
Instant.
Oh, yes, right. So you can go from fast asleep to upright and ready to go.
Yeah, what was up?
In a matter of seconds.
Basically.
Yeah. Half a second.
Half a second.
Yeah, it's like... like in a horror movie, if someone was laying in a, you know, in a...
Like when they never double tap, do they?
Yeah.
When the
zombie
baddie.
Just coming out of the grave immediately.
Yeah, I'm basically Undertaker, I don't know if you... From wrestling, where he's down and he just gets up.
Dong! Yeah. And he's awake. Yeah, that is you waking up. It's Tyson Fury when he's out for the... That is how Ross wakes up.
Goes from comatose to wide awake. Yeah. Like that. Amazing. Secret skills, Stewie. What secret skills have you got?
What have you got?
I can't think of any secret skills that I've got. Nothing. I can't think of anything secret that I can do that I wouldn't otherwise boast about. But I am very much looking forward to seeing Hutchie down a pint. We should definitely do that as a competition as well.
Mm-hmm.
Get some of the Kings of Anglia Army out of the crowd to go up against him. What would the Honey Badger's secret skill be if he had a secret skill? I'd like to imagine he's like a tremendous cards player or something, like one of these people that...
Do you think?
Did you, on the subject of playing games and for big money, did you see the Fortnite thing over the weekend, by the way?
No.
So you know Fortnite, the game that the kids play?
I'm aware of it, yeah.
I don't play it.
There was a big tournament, the World Championship of Fortnite, in Flushing Meadows in New York, and a lad from this country, only like 15, 16, won almost £1 million.
Playing a computer game. Mad.
And I heard an interview with him this morning saying that, because his mum was basically saying he completely neglected schoolwork and she was always getting on at him and she chucked the Xbox out at one point. And now he's won almost £1 million. And she says, to be fair, fair play to him.
Yeah.
So, and he was talking about training 8 hours a day playing Fortnite and talked about having to grind through it because he knew it would make him better.
Yeah.
So that's a thing now. Esports are a thing. And you're getting money there that's like akin to any kind of big sporting prize. Uh-huh. Playing Fortnite. Mental.
That is mental. I cannot get my head around people who would rather watch other people play computer games than actually play it yourself.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get on Tinder.
Yeah, you definitely do that.
Definitely get on Tinder. But hey, the lad's a millionaire almost now just from playing a computer game. Fair play to him. Mr. G, any update on the Ipswich Millwall transfer links? Yes, there is.
Breaking news.
There's been some breaking news. Stu, you look anxious. Are you itching to get out of here and put something online?
No, I've just had too many cups of coffee this morning.
Oh, really? Do you want to skip out? Just
get the shakes.
Okay. Are you saying you needed a slash?
No.
Leaf O, given the ropey defence last season, why do you think we've still not signed anyone in those positions? Promotions are always built on a sturdy back four.
Yeah, that would be my concern. I think the spine at the side looks pretty good. If you go through that now with Holy, Chambers, Skuse, Hughes, Judge, Norwood, I think that spine of that side's pretty good. I think with the injured players at the moment, the fullbacks is an area of concern for me a little bit at the moment. Perhaps also the wingers as well. But obviously we've got players to come back in that respect with Lancaster and Sears and Edwards. So, maybe that would be the concern. You're right, titles are built on defences. I mean, look, Liverpool, for prime example, the way they have become, they've gone to the new level by going out and signing Van Dijk and Robertson and sorting out their defence, you know, when they've always had the attacking options. But you're right, titles and success is generally built on having that solid base. So, I perhaps am a little bit surprised that they haven't strengthened more in that respect come this stage.
Good stuff. Jack Slaughter, friend of the show. Number, I don't know. I honestly don't know, Jack. I know you're in there somewhere. You're in that top eight.
Number.
Is it eight now, is it?
Eight. Well, yeah, because you were here when Hutchie added Little Melon Man.
Tiny little melon man.
He's now eight. Eight giants astride the Kings of Anglia, Friends of the Show Hall of Fame. Anyway, Jack, our resident chef, wants to know, if Bart leaves, we're really going to have to scramble for a keeper because most keeper deals are done by now. So is there any interest in any? So that's the thing in terms of getting a backup in.
They certainly, when they were expecting Bart to go before and they signed Holy, the plan was always to sign another goalkeeper as well. Remy Matthews at Bolton was very high on that list. Obviously, the financial situation at Bolton remains the same, so there's a chance he could walk out on his contract there, although he won't be short of interest from elsewhere. Whether at this stage in the day now, having had a good look at Holy and Harry Wright in pre-season, they'll rush to do something, I don't know. But certainly the plan originally when Bart was going to go was to sign Holy plus another, and they had plenty of targets on the list, so they may well move on one of those.
Tremendous. Right, we're getting through mailbag now. Let's break it up, though, with a little bit of a Mark's Big Question. Shark.
I did say Partridge then.
Mark's Big Question. Question.
I only just noticed the heartbeat in that.
That's good detail. That's Hutchie's thing. Stewie, before we get on to this week's Mark's Big Question, I want to know the answer to last week's, because last week's was your guilty pleasure. And we confessed things to each other around the table in the safe space of the podcast. Hutchie said Coronation Street. Roscoe said cheesy music, belying his kind of status as a cool young man. And I said Homes Under the Hammer. I speculated at the time, and I was right, your guilty pleasure as of that period was nicotine. That's now not a guilty pleasure. So what is your guilty pleasure?
Yeah, the sneaky fag here and there would probably be one.
Yeah.
Other than that, Kirsty Allsop.
What?
I don't know. I'm trying to think along those lines.
You like Kirsty Allsop?
Under the bracket of guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not for me, I'd say. A bit posh for me.
Yeah.
She'd like a man wearing mustard chinos, I'd imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. You're fine.
So maybe, Kirsty Allsop. Interesting.
That was a panic decision, to be honest.
Yeah.
I could probably think of some better ones. But yeah. I just wanted to go down that. That's not guilty pleasure, though,
isn't
is it?
It?
No.
The older woman?
Nothing guilty about
during
that.
During our trip to Germany,
to
the airport, you guys were talking about Hollyoaks, weren't you? A lot, you two in front.
You watch Hollyoaks?
You did.
Oh, we were talking about sort of back in the day.
Yeah. Back in the day, Hollyoaks used to be good. It's still going.
Yeah.
Mental. Anyway, I have, as you wouldn't have heard, because you don't listen to this even when you're on it, I've shorn the list of podcast questions back for the new season.
Okay.
So I've got rid of the ones we've already done. We're now up to 32 questions.
Did you get rid of last week's?
Yeah. Oh, I did, yeah. The guilty pleasure. That was number one. That's gone. So... Stuart Watson, Dr. Yep. Steve, give us a number between 1 and 32.
17.
17, interesting. Oh, this is good. It's not really a non-football question, but it'll be interesting. What is the best goal you've ever seen?
live.
Well, live, or you could do two. Can you could do live or also on TV?
Best goal I've ever seen live. You have to bear in mind I've watched Ipswich a lot in the last 10 years.
Not many then.
Yeah.
Oh, best goal. One of my favourite goals still remains Jay Tabb's towering header against Middlesbrough.
Yeah,
good shout.
Teddy Bishop curling in a cross and little Jay Tabb climbing highest and thumping his header home.
Little Jay. Town, I can't really think of many memorable goals that Town have scored. Cracking goals I'm talking about. Like, and you're obviously struggling as well.
Yeah, you've put me on the spot and I'm struggling here.
You struggle on the spot, don't you?
Yeah, Roscoe, I really
What's your the best goal you've ever seen?
Because you can go with like late winners, but sometimes they're not great. Like Richard Chapler, that's always going to be a moment mm-hmm. that I'll always remember. A couple of Darren Murphy goals in the playoff season. Just got a few good ones.
I know Ipswich fans always talk about the Leighton Baines goal for Wigan
at
Portman Road. I wasn't watching Ipswich then, but people talk about that.
Ah, Kevin Brew against Bolton. This is a random game. But
is
he
that
just,
a scissor kick goal?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Tommy Smith as well against QPR, overhead kick, sort of. We lost 3-1 in the end because that was our consolation, but that was a random goal that just happened. Of course, we lost, and Tommy Smith scoring. I like late winner, so Christoph Berra late winner against Derby.
That was good, yeah.
Noel Hunt against Charlton as well. Well, here we go. There's also what from my younger days, Jermaine Wright against Rotherham. Fantastic volley. That's one of my early way days memories.
In terms of pure aesthetics, I mean, I love a towering header, but then you also can't beat a volley from outside of the box. Mm. If you get in a bit of post or crossbar involved as well, I mean, Tony Yeboah obviously has set the standard,
yeah.
But... Caden Jackson's consolation against Millwall last season.
Mm.
He did a little bunny hop and then in off the post from outside the box. That was quite nice. But yeah, ball dropping out of the sky. Hopefully the ball's been half cleared. Eyes on the ball the whole way. Boom, volley in off the bar. That's what you want.
The bar. Why does it make it that much better though? But it does, doesn't it? The ball violently hitting like ideally the bar and smashing down into the floor. Yeah.
For me, having grown up an Everton fan, it was, you know, remember the name Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
That was in off the bar, outside the area. Wonder kid announcing himself on the scene. When you're chucking in all those sort of things into the mix. I think that, for me, is where, you know, the classic goals have to have those elements. It's not just the aesthetics of the goal, but it's what that goal means in the moment. And it's the context of it as well. Yeah.
The two that stand out for me, from my childhood, the classic Trevor Sinclair overhead kick.
Yes.
From QPR from outside the box. That was amazing. If you've not seen that, Google that right now and watch it on YouTube. And the other one for me is, I can't remember who it was against, but it was Ronaldinho. Ball came into the box. He took it on his chest. And at the same time as he controlled it on his chest, he kind of turned 180 and then flipped an overhead kick over the on-rushing keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Most incredible thing I've ever seen in terms of body control and skill. He was a bit good, the boy, Ronaldinho, wasn't he?
Di Canio's volley against Wimbledon,
the scissor kick
volley, because we hadn't really seen much like that before. That for me, remains a thing of beauty. And then Dennis Bergkamp goals as well, the one against Newcastle. And he meant that. I don't care what anyone says, you know, spinning it, knocking it one side. Obviously, the Van Basten-type goals as well. You know, so many good ones.
Good goals. Back to Mark's question. Back to mailbag. After Mark's big question, I should say. We've only got 10 minutes left. 9 minutes left. So we're going to have to just do a couple more. Ollie Feingold wants to know: do you think the Honey Badger will stick with the Pulis style attire for the time being, or will we ditch it and revert back to the jumper, shirt, and tie? We think he's going to go back.
I think he will. I think he'll go with it.
He'll stick with the Pulis.
Yeah, I think so.
Why not? Got to try.
He's got. They've painted the entire training ground blue. I've not been up there for a few weeks now, but. He's very big on sort of branding and making sure that, you know, just the badge and the colour.
Yeah,
and
I was there yesterday and it is just blue everywhere. So he's.
They've spent a bit of cash up there over the summer. Yeah.
The Blue Dawn. Kevin Mays, can we set Stuart Watson and Andy Warren a challenge of dropping Honey Badger into a player/Honey Badger interview? Yes, please.
Not going to do that. No.
Go on.
No.
Facebook Live, Honey Badger.
No.
I think he'd like Honey Badger. You know?
I Maybe.
People are really running with it as well. They obviously, people feel an affiliation with the term.
Okay.
In the way that Hollywood didn't really get off the ground and Paul Hurst hated it last season. Mm. People have really jumped on Honey Badger. They can see the similarities.
I want to see it being used a lot more before I'm going to start.
It's all over Mailbag, my friend. Every time.
Yeah, but that's our little thing, isn't it? I don't know if it's
we can
gone
make,
further
we,
than
we
that.
We can
yet.
Make it a thing.
Okay.
Simon wants to know, is Flynn Downs' temper a threat to his Ipswich Town career?
It's something that he needs to harness, as we've discussed. I don't know about threat to his Ipswich Town career, but it's got the potential to hold him back.
And let's finish with Zach Ward, who says, I'm seriously worried. This has not been a good pre-season by any metric, results, injuries or players in. Are we right to be concerned with the big kickoff on the horizon? We can't afford to be in this league any more than one season. Mm. And I'm not confident.
I think you're right in saying that the longer you're in it, your percentage chances of going back up probably diminish by the year. I'm not panicking just yet, but you're right. A few weeks ago, I was sort of saying, everyone stay calm. There's still loads of time in the transfer window and they've done some early business and there's a bit of stability. We didn't need 10, 12 signings. But the injuries is the most concerning thing for me. On paper, that squad is still, even without any new signings, still should be more than good enough for top six. Mm. But the injuries is a concern at the moment.
I also want to give a shout out to James New and Nick Keeble, who have asked questions on Facebook. We've covered both of them. Nick Keeble just says, why aren't we covering the Tom Elliott story? We've covered that with breaking news. Oh, the phone's going. Is this breaking news?
Might be, but yeah, we'll wrap up.
Okay, we'll wrap up and then we'll get on to that. And James New just asked about the Honey Badger again, talking about him putting Judge on the wings. So we'll see what happens there. But thanks for getting involved. Going to put the mailbag invite out on Facebook every week now as well, so we can get more questions. Friends, we've had some breaking news. It's been very exciting, this podcast. We've had breaking news. We've had all sorts of jingles. This would be a good time, Ross, as I put the usual appeal out to subscribe via your various podcast providers if you've enjoyed this nonsense, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, because it helps in our visibility. And also, what you might want to do is listen to another Archon podcast, might you, Ross?
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore, for more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
So definitely go and do that. Definitely, if you want to sponsor us, Stewie's taking his headphones off. I think there's serious
business
movement
going on.
There's business. He's gone serious. Stewie's in serious mode. The doctor.
You don't have to share this every time. Just ignore
painting
things.
Pictures with my words, my friend. People want to know what's going on. You've gone into serious work mode. He's off. See you, Stew. He literally is off as well.
He's got his phone.
He's got his phone. He's walked out the studio, and there we go. That's
just
it.
Us now.
So I guess there's no other business for us. That's quite awkward, isn't it? I just want to shout out Matthew Smith, who's emailed in to say he's an Ipswich Town supporter living in Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
He says, congratulations on an entertaining and essential podcast. Correct, Matt. Thanks for being on board. And also, Anthony Manning, just wanted to drop you a message from here in Oz, telling you how far and wide your top-class podcast reaches down here in Secret Harbour, Western Australia. Oh. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Believe it or not, there are three or four of us loyal Blue Army within a stone's throw of each other. We try to get together for games, time difference permitting. Amazing. So do let us know. Email me, mark.heath@archon.co.uk, or contact us on all the social medias, Kings of Anglia on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube and Instagram. And also obviously follow the boys individually on all the social medias as well. Ross, have you got any other business?
No.
I think we better go and see what's going on. I've never seen Stuart walk out of a room before.
He's excited, isn't he?
He's obviously very excited. He's gone into full Doctor Mode. Thank you very much for joining us. Look out for this Thursday. We'll be recording the big season preview podcast. That should be ready for you Thursday afternoon to consume as we go into the big kickoff. It's almost here. The big kickoff is almost here. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again on Thursday.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.